Earth's journey complete. Sacrifice marks the day. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to this brand new series and silsila called the Festival of Sacrifice in the beautiful month of Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are beginning with a topic and a theme, the spiritual journey of Hajj. Subhanallah, many have embarked on this journey of Hajj, and whomsoever has embarked on this spiritual journey, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them success on this journey and take them safely to the Mubarak city of Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara and bring them back home safe. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Alhamdulillah, before we begin our topic of discussion, as we always do, let's first and foremost extol the virtues of reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said in this regard that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, there is, alhamdulillah, a very spiritually uplifting message to all the hajis from the court of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. And this message is so beautiful, subhanAllah, it is with regards to the sanctity of Medina Munawwara. Alhamdulillah, I'm not alone. I'm in the company of two great muballighs of Dawat Islam, Maulana Naushad Madani and Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani, Hafizahum Allah, Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah Sayyidi, for joining us and beautifying this silsila and episode. However, there is a strong and spiritual message to all the hajis from the court of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. Let's inshallah hear from his bargah. He says, Hajiyo aao shahnshah karo za dekho Kaaba to dekh chuke Kaabe ka Kaaba dekho Ab zamzam तो पिया खूब बुझाई प्यासे अब जमजम तो पिया खूब बुझाई प्यासे आओ जूदे शह कौसर कभी दरिया देखो आओ जूदे शह कौसर कभी दरिया देखो काबा तो देख चुके काबे का काबा देखो जेर मीजाब मिले खूब करम के छीटे जेर मीजाब मिले खूब करम के छीटे अब्र रहमत का यहाँ जोर बरसना देखो काबा तो देख चुके काबे का काबा देखो खूब आँखों से लगाया है गिलाफे काबा खूब आँखों से लगाया है गिलाफे काबा قصر محبوب کے پردے کا بھی جلوہ دیکھو، قصر محبوب کے پردے کا بھی جلوہ دیکھو، کعبہ تو دیکھ چکے کعبے کا کعبہ دیکھو، غور سے سن تو رضا کعبے سے آتی ہے صدا، غور سے سن تو رضا کعبے سے آتی ہے صدا، میری آنکھوں سے میرے پیارے کا روزہ دیکھو، میری آنکھوں سے میرے پیارے کا روزہ دیکھو، کعبہ تو دیکھ چکے کعبے کا کعبہ دیکھو، صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. How fortunate are those who have embarked on this spiritual journey of Hajj Sayyidi, alhamdulillah. And moreover, if one has beautiful intentions to embark on this journey with all the good intentions, alhamdulillah, His Eminence Peer-e-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat Da'wat Barakatuhul Aliyah has beautifully authored this book, Rafiqul Haramain, and this can be your companion on the journey of Hajj, subhanallah. And how important it is, Sayyidi, to have the righteous intentions when embarking on this beautiful journey of Hajj.
You know, subhanallah, that is your starting point of making good intentions before the action itself. And this applies to any ibadah. In fact, there's two main pillars when it comes to an ibadah. One is to do it with the correct intention, and the other is to do it correctly, as we're supposed to, if we want it to be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this also includes for that person who's waiting for Hajj. So subhanallah, Amir al-Sunnah Dam Barakatuhul Aliyah, he's our well-wisher. He wants us to gain maximum rewards from any ibadah, including waiting for Hajj. And therefore he has noted down these 50 plus good intentions that one can make even before starting the journey for the Hajj. And that book, Rafiqul Haramain, it can be obtained from Maktabatul Madina, which is our bookshop, our publications department. And keep it with you. And believe me, what it contains is a wealth of knowledge with regards to your Hajj, your Umrah, your visit to Madina Sharif, your Ziyarah, the etiquettes that goes through it, to which du'as are to be recited when you are going around the Kaaba Sharif, the different ashwat and the rounds that you're doing. Each one has its own du'a, each round. So which du'as is all in there. You just follow from the book how easy it's made for us.
So at times it seems, Sayyidi, that some hujjaj who are not really well aware of the rulings, the arkan and so on and so forth, they are often found, you know, looking at other people, what they are doing, and they just copy and paste. So basically they don't have a clue as to what are the rules and regulations, but they're just following others in doing those Hajj rites, subhanallah. So you have pointed out towards something that is very important for a Haji to know exactly what is fard, what is wajib, what are the violations that you may be liable to at times. We can't do the same thing that we do at home.
Absolutely.
When we are in the Haram Sharif, it completely changes.
The rules and regulations change. There's manasikul hajj, there's rulings and different types of things to be done at certain times as well, at certain places. In fact, see, if you're copying somebody else, perhaps that person is copying somebody else also, and the chain is going on. So rather stick to authentic sources. And subhanallah, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Aliyah has made it so simple, so easy for us. You just have this one book, and from A to Z of your Hajj or your Umrah or your visit to Madina Sharif is contained in there. So the starting point is good intentions before you even leave. Because some maybe they're still getting ready to leave. Others have left already. Perhaps others are still getting ready. One of the things is that the intention we should make is I'm undertaking this journey because it is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. For the pleasure. It's fard upon me. Now it is my duty. It becomes part of my fard ulum, my obligatory knowledge to learn the rulings of the Hajj, the do's and the don'ts of the Hajj. Ask maaf, forgiveness and pardon from your family members, from your friends, from people that you know, before you undertake this journey. Settle whatever debts, whatever responsibilities you have, whatever expenses for the next month or so with the family members. Take people's du'as. Make sure that subhanAllah azza wa jal, not just your preparation for, you know, taking enough clothing or the accommodation and all of those things are in its place. Whatever medical wise vaccination that is needed, that's in its place. Now we are talking about intentions. Make those good intentions that I'm going to undertake this journey. I'm going to perform Hajj and Umrah as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. That's how I'm going to go on this pilgrimage, on this journey. Make the other good intentions that subhanAllah azza wa jal, as I am leaving, I don't know if I'm going to return. So make sure that, you know, we're leaving on a clean slate. And part of the preparation is also psychological. Reading, learning about it, the journey itself. Part of the preparation is emotional. So all of these things need to come into play before I leave. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah also advises us that make sure you make a proper list of things that you need to take and go. So you're not short on that side. And the intentions we should make is, when I'm there, I will present my salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when I'm in Medina Sharif, to Shaykhain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma, to the Sahaba and Awliya at the Baqi, Jannatul Baqi Cemetery. I will visit Jannatul Ba'ala Cemetery of Makkah Sharif. I will make ziyarat of these things. And at those different places, at Mina, at Muzdalifah, Arafah, I will make du'as, because these are places where du'as are accepted. So make the intentions beforehand. Even if you forgot to do something, you're still getting reward because you made those good intentions. Make the good intentions that I will not be a source of discomfort to any haji. Sometimes what happens at Hajar al-Aswad and other places, there's pushing. Everybody wants to go and kiss the Hajar al-Aswad. If you get that opportunity, subhanAllah. Other good intentions we can make, as Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Ali has advised us, that I will try to be a source of comfort for other hujjaj, that those who are performing the Hajj, if they are short of something, if I'm able to help, I will try to help them. I will read the du'as for entering the masjid. Amir al-Sunnah included that. Imagine, when you're entering Masjid al-Haram, enter with the right foot. He advises, Masjid al-Nabawi, enter with the right foot, make your niyat, nawaitu sunnat al-i'tikaf, read your du'as for entry into the masjid. I will drink as much Zamzam Sharif as possible. Hadith Pak, the summary of which is that the difference between the believers and the hypocrites is that when we're drinking Zamzam, we drink till our full stomach. And the hypocrites, they can't do this. Or they don't do this. They don't drink till they're full. SubhanAllah. I will follow the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he performed the different rituals as well. I will hold on to the multazam with love and affection. So these intentions we're making before going. Or even if you're gone, before the actual days of Hajj, these intentions are being made. I'll perform salah by Maqam Ibrahim. I'll do my sa'i as prescribed. I'll make my du'as at Safa, at Marwa. I'll do the halk and for Islamic sisters, taqseer, shortening of the hair. So I'll do all of these things as prescribed by the Sharia. So these intentions we should make. And there's so many others. If you want more, then get the book, inshallah, you'll see.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, JazakAllah, Sayyidi. Yes, so there is a huge help, alhamdulillah, from your Dawat Islami extended to you. In your own language, subhanAllah, this book has been translated in many different languages of the world. So no matter which language you speak, get your hands on this beautiful publication of Maktabatul Madina, that is Rafiqul Haramain in Urdu, in Arabic, in English, alhamdulillah, whichever language you speak, inshallah azza wa jal, and this can be your companion on the journey of Hajj. And at the end, if you could please make dua for Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Ali and your Dawat Islami, subhanAllah. As we always like to say, Allah karam aisa kare tujh pe jahan mein अल्लाह करम ऐसा करे तुझ पे जहां में, ए दावत इस्लामी तेरी धूम मची हो। आमीन बिजाहिन नबी अमीन सल्लु अलल हबीब
सल्लल्लाहु
अलैहि मुहम्मद
सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम। जस्ट बिफोर यू मूव ऑन, also alhamdulillah azawajal, those who are going for hajj or who are there can actually get in touch with our one majlis called Hajj and Umrah Majlis. So this majlis is set up to aid, to assist, to educate those who are going for Hajj and Umrah and Ziyarah to Medina Sharif as well.
Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islam is there for you at every step of life. Inshallah azawajal, there are various different departments helping and assisting you through the ups and downs of life, alhamdulillah, as a Muslim, as a believer, as a brother. So make your contribution and du'as for your Dawat Islami when you are there in Haramain Sharifain. Subhanallah. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, as Mu'asab has beautifully initiated the discussion with the niyyah, that, you know, if one's niyyah is not correct, one's niyyah is not for the right purpose, then what's the use of carrying out this spiritual journey, going through all the troubles, spending so much of money, when there is a flaw in the niyyah itself? Like, for example, if somebody has the intention, I'm going for Hajj, so people must call me Haji from now on. Right? And if one has the niyyah of going for Hajj so he can become rich, that's defeating the purpose. Just like how it is, the perks of fasting is that the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that fast and you'll become healthy. So that doesn't mean your intention must be to get healthy behind fasting, but the intention should be for the rida and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So those are bonuses. Your intention is to fulfill an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His pleasure. And then all those other, whatever medical or physical benefits are there, those are like bonuses that come with, if it's done properly.
So eyes on the prize, inshallah, azza wa jal. Don't lose focus of your intention. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, as the Hujjaj are leaving, mashallah, from various different parts of the world, some have left. And those who are staying closer to Haramain Sharifain, they may be still leaving, subhanallah. Depends which demographic you belong to. And different miqat for different hajjis, depending which direction of the world they are coming from. Some is Yalamlam and mashallah. Sayyidi, on this beautiful journey of Hajj, what are the fada'il or the excellences that are mentioned in the narration, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to the spiritual journey itself? We know the destination is virtue, subhanallah. It's countless, Allahu Akbar. But the journey itself, mashallah. Imagine if the journey itself is so beautiful, how beautiful would be the destination?
Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, Murasab, the excellence of Hajj, they are so great in number that if we look at the excellence of journeying for Hajj, just the journey alone, we find in the narrations in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the summary of which is that a Haji who goes for Hajj, or a ghazi, a warrior, or a person who performs umrah, when they leave their house and they go for their purposes, a haji to go for hajj, a ghazi, and the person going for umrah, if they pass away on their journey, subhanallah, they will continue getting the reward of being a haji, being a ghazi, or a person going for Umrah until the day of Qiyamah.
Subhanallah.
And when we look at the atmosphere, you know, of those who are preparing themselves to go for Hajj, when we look at the atmosphere, we find them, it is a very emotional atmosphere. We see them, they hold these programs. So maybe a week before they could leave, or 2 weeks before they could leave, they hold a Hajj program. And in there, they call upon lecturers, they call upon Naat reciters to recite the poetry of Medina Sharif, of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And a lecture is given on the excellences of Medina Sharif, of Makkah, the excellence of Hajj itself. And in these lectures also, we see that the audience, the people, they are being told about the rulings about Hajj, subhanAllah. So it is a very spiritual journey. Also, apart from it being a spiritual journey, which is the crux of it, it's also a physical journey as well. One's health has to be in order. If someone's health is not good, then they should consult their doctor to seek medical advice on it as well. And all of it should be put together, inshallah. And thereafter, we see that those who go on this blessed and spiritual journey of Hajj, we see the rewards that are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he mentions that a haji will intercede for 400 Muslims of his family.
Subhanallah. There are also accounts of those hujjaj who have embarked on this journey of Hajj, subhanallah, spiritually uplifting journey. Right. And there have been accounts of a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who dragged himself on the journey of Hajj, subhanallah. There are accounts of Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who also went on Hajj 20 times by foot, subhanallah. And likewise, inshallah, we would love to hear some of those accounts, inshallah, Sayyidi.
Subhanallah. Masab, you know, when we look at Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliyah, a living wali of today's time, subhanallah, when we see him going for Hajj, and when we see him going to Makkah Al Mukarramah, going to Madinah Al Munawwarah, the love and respect that he has for these blessed cities is just mind-blowing, subhanAllah. It's mind-blowing. I mean, before entering the Haram Sharif, Amiri Ahli Sunnat, Tamad Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, he would walk barefoot right through. And even in Medina Sharif, he would walk barefoot right through. He would kiss the pillars of Madinatul Munawwara. He would kiss the trees, the leaves of Madinatul Munawwara. And to the extent that he would go down towards the ground and kiss the ground with his eyelids. Subhanallah. This is, you know, his love for the blessed cities of Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara. And subhanallah, we find that people now, when they go, we see them, they are preparing themselves, because this is a life-changing journey. It's a life-changing journey. And we find many people who come back, their lives have been changed. You know, they become more pious, they become more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, the beauty part of this journey, the beauty part is that millions of Muslims are embarking on this blessed journey. And we see that when they are adorning the ihram, whether someone is rich, whether someone is poor, they all are on the same level. No one can say that I am wearing a branded ihram. Everyone wears the same ihram, subhanallah. And this reminds us of going back to our roots, not forgetting our roots, that we have come into this world for one purpose, and that purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we go there, it is like as if we are away from the world. We are completely away from the world. And when we are there, we realize our true purpose in this world. That is why many who come back from there, they realize their heedlessness before they could even embark on this blessed journey of Hajj. And when they come back, they now have the sincere intention in them that I want to change my life and transform my life for the better, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, one very beautiful thing you mentioned, Sayyidi, that we are all wearing one garb, ihram, subhanAllah, and dressed in ihram. And you can't distinguish one from the other. And that displays, that is one of the greatest display of brotherhood, Islamic
brotherhood. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, 100%.
Allah Azza wa Jal makes us all unite there for the sake of Allah, chanting labbaik in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, circumambulating around the house of Allah, like how the moths fly around the flame of candle.
Subhanallah.
And that Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Aimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, Hajj is the biggest display of the unity of Islam.
Allah.
The bigger the gathering, the bigger the display. And Hajj is the biggest gathering of Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Where There is no distinction as to who is a white person, black person, who's African, who's European. Nobody. You are Muslim.
Race doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Ethnicity doesn't matter. Country doesn't matter. Language doesn't matter. Because they're all trying to fulfill that command of Allah.
So rich, poor, that doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. Your financial background doesn't matter. Which family you're coming from. Everybody's dressed, the men folk are all dressed in the ihram. Yes. So even we must think that when we pass away, same thing, kafan, all of us are wearing the same kafan. And ihram, subhanAllah, many things that are normally halal become haram in the ihram. So shouldn't I know these things? So important things, yes. Which acts are haram, which acts are makruh, which acts are allowed to be performed whilst in the state of ihram. And this spiritual journey, it is spiritual. Unfortunately, for some people, they may spend their free time, their spare time in shopping. It becomes a materialistic thing. Right. Going for the best bargains and the best deals and buying their gold or whatever else it is. And that defeats the purpose that why am I there actually? I'm there to get that acceptance from Allah Azza wa Jal, so I go back as a newborn baby and to start a new leaf all over. Like you're just born.
Yes.
So I start a new leaf, a new chapter in my life. One of the signs that a person's Hajj has been accepted is that when the person returns, they have changed. They no more go back to those sinful ways, bad habits. You'll see the difference in their life, that they're more Islamically inclined, they're punctual with the salahs, fulfilling rites, practicing on sunnah. So these are signs of that person has changed, and this is a sign of acceptance of their Hajj and their Umrah.
Also, so we see another huge distraction, which is the selfie mania nowadays, wherein even if someone is at Hajre Aswad, they want to take a selfie at that point as well. Someone is at Maqam Ibrahim, they want to take a selfie at that point as well. And we see this taking out selfies takes up so much of one's time, whereas in that time one can make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this taking out selfies, I feel that this also should be avoided as well.
Yes, and this sometimes you see, it also depends on the niyyah, Sayyidi. That sometimes a person wants to take a simple selfie, one snapshot. It takes a few seconds. Just to keep as a remembrance that, I was there.
Subhanallah.
To recall that time. And one is taking selfies and blasting it all over social media. I am a haji now, certified haji.
Yes. You're trying to market yourself.
Yes.
Because those ones who are active on social media, many of them, they're doing it for the followers. Right. Subscriptions, how many likes I'm getting, what comments I'm getting, these kind of things, So, yes, a few pictures here and there as a remembrance, as you are saying.
That can be an exception.
Yeah, you can just go back home and show your AC, mashallah, I was standing here by Kaaba Sharif. Maybe you'll never get a chance again to come back. And 10 years later, you open up and you see, alhamdulillah, I was staying by Kaabatullah. Refresh your memory of, the days of Hajj. So that balance has to be there. The intention, what the intention is, comes back to that.
There is a beautiful saying of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a person who shows off, who's immersed in ostentation, he doesn't give up ostentation and showing off even after death. And then he says how? That when a person passes away, the person who's habitual of showing off, even while he is dying, he got this ostentation in mind that, when I die, such big janazah must come to accompany me to the grave and so on and so forth. So people can boast about me that, hey, look at this person's janazah. He had such a big janazah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So yes, this evil habit is not going to leave you even after you die. Do we want to have this kind of habit, this kind of thought process where whatever good we do, it must be for the sake of public, not for the sake of Allah. Before Sayyidi, in the olden days, people were more spiritually inclined and they used to say, there's a saying, Neki kar dariya midal. Do the good and forget about it. But nowadays, neki kar billboard pedal. That you must do the good and put it on the billboard. That so and so has dedicated this and this place for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was for the pleasure of Allah, what's the need to put on board?
How do you know it's accepted? That good deed you did, how you know it's accepted in the first place? Yes. Na? So we don't like people to know our faults, our sins. We hide that. What about hiding our good deeds also? You suppose the wise people used to do that. They used to hide their good deeds. You know, and we should do the same. And SubhanAllah, for those who are fortunate to be in those places, you have to make the most of every moment. The Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafah. You know, I mean, because you don't know if your calling will be there again. You know, to go back and to experience that that season again. So make the most of it. Keep your focus on, you know, the ibadat and to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, that inshallah, yeah, through the mercy of Allah will be accepted.
And you know, Mawlana, they are truly fortunate, because if you look at it, there are so many, those who are rich out there. Some of them haven't gone for Hajj. Some of them haven't gone to visit Makkah al-Mukarramah or Madinah al-Munawwara, despite having the money to do so, despite being so rich, yet they haven't been there, but they've been to other countries. And yet we find on the other hands, those who are poor, they have been making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. And subhanallah, we see them going for Hajj. We see them going for Umrah, to visit Makkah al-Mukarramah, to visit Madinah al-Munawwara. I know of a car guard. He's so poor. And I've heard that he went, he told me himself actually when he came back that alhamdulillah, I went for Umrah and I came back. How? You know, it all comes down to the sincerity in one's heart when he's making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whichever way it could be, that means will be created.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. You know, there's a beautiful shair. Dil se jo baat nikalti hai, asar rakhti hai, par nahi taqate parwaz magar rakhti hai. That if you truly wish from the heart, from the bottom of your heart, inshallah, it is hopeful that you are granted your wish.
Subhanallah.
Azza wa Jal. If there is a will, there is a way. And those who have gotten all the means, they keep saying, one day I'll go, one day. You know, when the planets are aligned properly. So that day might never come. But they don't say about their business trip, no, one day I'll go on this business trip. That, no, on certain day and certain time I'm going, otherwise my business is going to go down. But when it comes to their spiritual well-being, we leave it on, you know, on the mercy of one day, Monday, one day, you know, like as we say. So this attitude isn't going to help us, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. We need to have a clear, definite purpose of life. And that is, if it is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do those actions which pleases the Rabb Azza wa Jal and the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then yes. Then we got our goal set on the right maqsad. But if not, then it is what it is. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy. Ameen bijahin nabiyil amin. You mentioned, Sayyidi, that some people go there and start, you know, with their business dealings. Like some go there window shopping. Some will go there to buy gold from there because it's perhaps tax-free or something. And I've seen something similar, and there was a brother who came to sit for itikaf in the month of Ramadan. He's a shopkeeper, so he has left the shop, but the shop hasn't left him. So he was there sitting for itikaf, and the entire itikaf he's busy doing all his maths calculations, the income and outgoing expenses, the overheads and so on and so forth. So I'm just wondering, I mean, how is it so that, you know, you sitting for itikaf to divorce the world and you bring the dunya inside the masjid here. Oh. Similarly, a person who's going for Hajj is going on this journey of Hajj, and this ihram that we put on, this is the ihram to say that, well, everything is left behind, all the sins, all the gunas. Everything is left behind. I'm here for the sake of Allah, saying labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. But then our actions say otherwise. Then we start window shopping. Then we start, you know, showing our ulterior motive for going on the journey of Hajj. You have mentioned, say, the beautiful account of His Eminence Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, how he would revere the sanctity of Haramain Sharifa and Allahu Akbar. He would even kiss the ground with his Mubarak eyes, subhanAllah. And Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he says something similar. He says, Phool kya dekhu meri aankhon mein, phool kya dekhu meri aankhon mein, Dasht-e-Taiba ke khar phirte hain, Dasht-e-Taiba ke khar phirte hain. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us such love and devotion and mahabbat to the Haramain Sharif and Ameen Bijahin Nabi Lamin. Alhamdulillah, as we have come so far into our today's episode and program, let's inshallah Azza wa Jal listen to a beautiful kalam, and together with the kalam, we'll see some visuals of the Hajj journey of His Eminence Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, inshallah Azza wa Jal, and that would inspire us further. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbana, irham lana, Ya Rabbana.
Zam, 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 zam
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Welcome back, dear viewers. Yes, Alhamdulillah, you were listening to the beautiful kalam, and together with that, you were making ziyarat of His Eminence, the great devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, His Eminence Pir-e Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatumul Aliya himself. Allahu Akbar. Now, as our spirituality is at a height now, Alhamdulillah, we would refer to our Maulana Sahib and inshallah to explore or to explain to us the spiritual aspect of the journey of Hajj, inshallah azza wa jal, and how a person can further inculcate spirituality within himself and give it a boost. Because for everything else, if your finances are going down, we want to give it a boost by doing something different in life. And likewise, if our health is going down, we change our diet to boost and support our health. We take medications. Likewise, in every facet of life, we make changes so we are in a better state than we were before. And only a foolish person will keep on doing the same thing and expect a different result. So inshallah, azza wa jal, this is no normal journey. This is the journey of Hajj, spiritually uplifting. Inshallah, we should try our utmost best to boost our spirituality, use it as a leverage, as a means to get ourselves closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Definitely. You know, when a person is entering Masjidul Haram, and the ulama have advised, the very first glance of the Ka'batullah, very first glance a person should look and recite La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Recite this La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Then recite Salat ala Nabi Durood-e Pak, and then make dua. Make dua, and Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Ali advises, and this is also in Rafiqul Haramain, that make the dua, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever duas I make that is good for me, that is beneficial, my good desires, henceforth, please accept it in your cause.
Subhanallah,
what
subhanallah.
A, you know, encapsulating and wonderful dua. So try to practice upon this. And when you look at that Kaaba, imagine that this is the same Kaabatullah that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, they were building. When you stand by Maqam Ibrahim, think that, you know, inside there, this is the footprint of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is there. It's a tabarruk. It's a sacred relic. When you go to Hajr Aswad, think that, you know, this stone is from Jannah. This stone, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed lips on the stone.
Subhanallah.
When you are drinking Zamzam Sharif, think about Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. When you are by Safa, Marwa, then contemplate that this is where that Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha, she was running to look for water. Think about Makkah Sharif. This is the birthplace of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at the place where he was born. So, you know, like this, we can psychologically put ourselves in that zone of concentration. When you're in Medina Sharif, the same. Think that, you know what, here is a place, this is one of the gardens of Jannah, literally on earth.
Subhanallah.
Think that, you know, these are the places where my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk before. My Sahaba Ikram, they used to walk. Think about it, you know, what battles they had, what difficulties they had. Think about how he was extending the invitation towards goodness, but they were boycotted in those places. That, you know, kuffar used to oppress them. And this is why they went to Medina Sharif. So put yourself in that zone that, you know what, this place here, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, Rose Mubarak, look at the blessed green, grand green emerald dome. Think about, you know, all the other areas, the heritage sites, the sites where different things took place. Different masajid are, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, and recollect that, you know, these are the places, this is our history as Muslims, our Islamic history. I heard about it in lectures, and now I'm there physically in those areas.
SubhanAllah. And this is something very important, Zaidi, to keep our heritage. And yes. As some historians have said, those who do not remember their history, though that nation or those people will soon be wiped out because they forgot their true values, the essence of their heritage. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that Manasikul Hajj, with the virtues of that, we get to see that Kaaba in the direction of which we have been praying Salah all our lives. Imagine seeing that Qibla one day. Allahu Akbar. Kaabe ki raunak, Kaabe ka manzar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You mentioned Sayyidi, mashallah. And the excellence of making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in Haramain Sharifan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says with regards to the first 10 days of Zulhijjah al-Haram, that these are the days where one needs to make the excessive amount of tahleel, la ilaha illallah, excessive amount of takbir, Allahu Akbar. And various other azkar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that there is no other day more superior and favorite than these 10 days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recite tahleel la ilaha illallah and takbir Allahu Akbar abundantly in these days, because these are the days of tahleel, takbir and the dhikr of Allah. And Sayyidi, how beautiful it is that we are chanting takbir in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, it reminds us of our highest predecessors, Sayyidina Ismail ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Actually, the takbir is that takbir, subhanallah, that is the zikr of Allah done by three great individuals, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and the angel Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. It is mentioned in the accounts that when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came down with a ram from paradise to replace Sayyidina Ismail ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. At that point, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam chanted, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. And the Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said, Allahu akbar wa lillahi alhamd.
Subhanallah.
How beautiful it is. It all comes together, subhanallah. And we can revive our spirituality. We are chanting takbir in the same place where they chanted the takbir. Subhanallah. So Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, these are various different ways that we can give a boost to our spirituality, inshallah, azza wa jal. But when it comes to Hajj, Umrah, yes, we like to do it as it is prescribed. But how about some of the accounts of the Mubarak Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Inshallah, we would love to hear it. And we are the devotees of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we would like to do, or we would encourage others to do as well, to follow the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything, as it is, alhamdulillah, our identification of being a true devotee of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. What can be said about the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his lifetime, he performed Hajj. On his final Hajj, Hajjatul Wada, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned some very, very beautiful words of advice. And some of them are the summary of his last sermon on the Mount of Arafah, was that an Arab does not have any superiority over a non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab. A black has no superiority over a white, nor does a white have any superiority over a black person, except in piety and taqwa. Subhanallah. We also learn from the final sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he mentioned that hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also advised us to take care of our wives, because they are an amana, they are a trust to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us to take care of them, because they have rights over us and we also have rights over them, subhanallah. So these are some of the beautiful advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given on the mountain of Arafah. And also it was on this day that the religion of Islam has been completed, subhanallah, as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'amati wa radiyatu lakum al-Islam adina. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, we should, those who are going for Hajj should definitely take advantage of all of these blessings, inshallah.
Inshallah, azza wa jal, jazakallah, Sayyidi. MashaAllah, you took it all the way in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautifully the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj rites, taught us. It was his way of teaching us. And when people got to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to perform Hajj, Allahu Akbar, Sahaba ikram, they gathered there.
SubhanAllah,
Allahu Subhanallah. Akbar. Just because the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going Allah on the journey of Hajj, and to have the privilege of making Hajj by looking at the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qibla of Iman, who's our Qibla of Iman, subhanallah. And on this beautiful Hajj, that is Hajjatul Wada, the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also have received, alhamdulillah, the Tabarruk of Mu'i Mubarak. That is the sacred hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the halq was performed, Mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself gave that to distribute among people.
Allah,
that is how Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, in various different parts of the world, even in our city Durban here, there can be over 100 people who are in the possession of this sacred hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they pay the regards to it every Mauludun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is celebrated every Khatam Sharif that takes place. Allahu Akbar. And we recite Salat and Salam, Allahu Akbar, when the Mu'i Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is displayed, and seek barakah from it. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, jazakullah for partaking in this beautiful silsila, and adding further beauty into it, mashallah. And I hope that we shall get to see you and Maulana Sayyid Muhammad, inshallah, in the future episodes as well. Dear viewers, Jazakallah for remaining with us until the end of today's episode and program. And we hope that you continue to follow along this silsila and learn various different virtues of this beautiful month of Dhul-Hijjah, the Hajj of Baytullah, the Ziyarat of Madinatul Munawwara, the accounts of the biographies of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Until next time, Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Hajj journey complete, sacrifice marks the day, Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way. Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way.